Blind Cool Tech, October 30th, 2005. This is show number 200.
Welcome to Blind Cool Tech, a podcast that captures aspects of everyday life from a blind person's perspective. Your host for Blind Cool Tech is Larry Scootcon, but you will often hear submissions from other blind people as well. So sit back and enjoy Blind Cool Tech.
All right. Thanks, Jamie, for the excellent, excellent introduction there. Music by Andre Lewis at andrelewis.com. That's A-N-D-R-E-L-O-U-I-S. Yesterday, we were playing around with some submissions, and as I was listening to this, I thought, you know, I sure sound like an ungrateful something. And I didn't really mean to come across that way at all. I think this is a superb intro. And I guess the thought I was, what I was thinking was that I just wanted to try playing around with some more of them. And in fact, if some other folks of you would like to send some in, that would be really cool too. I just want to play around, try some few different things out, and see what kind of ends up fitting right, and this may well be it right here. I mean, I'm not saying it's not. I may try to do a different one every time. You know, we've had 200 shows now, and I think one thing you can say about Blind Cool Tech is that not very many of them are the same, and we'd like to keep it that way, and it's interesting. I just wanted to try out some different intros and some different music, and I actually had a couple more offers from some very highly regarded musicians in the last few days. One of them even before Jamie had submitted this. So it's funny how everything just comes together all at once. I had really been wanting to put together an intro back since, oh gosh, a couple of weeks into this. And, you know, I thought, oh, it'd be really, I didn't really know that things like Andre Lewis's music was available. I knew there was some you could get, some music you could get as a background or whatever. And I thought, oh, I really would like something that was more meaningful. So it's especially nice to be able to use some music from a blind person. I mean, really, we couldn't have it any other way on this show. So that's interesting how everything falls together or comes together all at once. We have got a really different kind of show for you today, too. We've got two longer submissions, and they're both totally different from anything we've done before, and I love exploring this genre like this. So keep those coming. Of course, the career casts, we all want to encourage all of you to keep those coming. In fact, the first submission we have here from Jim Fiddler in many ways is a career cast that goes into a different direction and a fascinating one, I might say. The topics brought up are very thought-provoking, and I found them quite educational. I won't say any more about it because I don't want to ruin it for you. The next submission from Lynette Tatum is potpourri. Sorry, I pop in my peas. Or I guess we could call it a podpourri of her, some of the things that went on during her week. And this is really creative, Lynette, and I think it might be another idea for a way to express ourselves and share our information, obviously. But anyway, Lynette also does a piece of music, as does Jim, of course. Lynette does a song at the end of hers that is really, well, I won't say no more. I'll just let you hear it. We'll start out with the fiddler piece, and we'll be right back on the other side of this.
Hi, Larry, and to all my fellow Blind Cool Tech listeners. This is Jim Fiddler from the Republic of Avalon Radio podcast. I just thought I would forward this little thing on to you guys. We just had a post on our forum that I thought that you guys might find interesting. I myself used to be sighted at one point as Larry. I could see until just about age 10, age 9, something like that. And I was very, very visual. I saw everything. I really enjoyed the world. I really enjoyed looking at the world, all the colors, the sky and clouds and the ocean and the reflection of a boat in the ripples of the ocean with the sun mixed in with it, and just all these images. I very, very much enjoyed the things that I saw, and I lived in a very colorful place. Newfoundland is very, very wonderful. Artists come here from all over the world, and they marvel at the light here. The light is amazing. So, in any case, there's an issue with music. I tend to paint with sound. That's the way I work with music quite often. It's not so much simply about EQ and compression and panning things from left to right and all that sort of stuff. For me, it's more about the color. I am what is termed a synesthete. Synesthesia is one sense stimulating another. And it has all sorts of varying degrees from from extreme to very slight. It's not a very common sort of thing, but I have one of the more common manifestations, and that is sound, to me, stimulates visual images in my mind. And not metaphorical at all, literal. I see colors, I see shapes in my mind as clearly as when I could see. So it's kind of interesting. Sometimes music is the only thing. I don't have visual dreams anymore either. For some reason, when I lost my sight, Mr. Brain said, hey, if he can't see in the daytime, I don't think it's a good idea that he sees in the nighttime, because it'd be a drag waking up every morning. So that's my theory on that anyway. So in any case, the whole idea of sound and color, music is really the only way, for the most part, that I actually experience visualizations anymore. You know, people say, do you know what I look like? Can you imagine what I look like? Would you like to touch my face? And all these kinds of things. And for me, I just really, really lost interest a long, long time ago in terms of what anybody might look like, because it's just, to me, sort of non sequitur. It's unnecessary data. I don't need to know that. It doesn't affect me in any way, shape, or form. And that's another topic for another day, isn't it? Sometimes a blind person can figure out things about a person a lot more quickly than a sighted person who might be distracted by somebody's appearance, their clothing or their hair or whatever kind of goofy hat they might have on their head. It sends a whole message. So there is a certain thing there as well, where the visuals can actually be a distraction. But to stick on topic here, there's that whole issue of music. Does music actually paint pictures in the mind? Or is it just metaphorical? So if you play some happy, goofy song, then people would normally tend more toward imagining people dancing and having a party or something. And if you play some really dark sounding music, then people might imagine something, some sort of sad scene, or, you know, a funeral procession. Well, Yes, I think that's the case. But I also, it's been bore out to me several times now in my life that this is not the case. It's not just metaphorical. Those I call them icons. Like, for example, if you want to make a little goofy bit in a song, then you dip into your little bag of icons and pull out like a slide trombone. Let's put some, you know, into that part of a song, and the effect that has on people is just as desired. And the same way, if you wanted to kind of make a little sexy bit of music, then you put some like screaming saxophone into it. Or if you want to give people the image of soldiers marching, then you throw some snare drums and some fife or something like that. These are all what I call icons, and you can have them in your little kit, you know, in your little tool kit, and pull them out. And I do find that a lot of composers and arrangers and so on really lean heavily, especially it gets exaggerated when you get into commercial production. And people have these little sound bites to record, 30-second, 60-second adverts, or as you say in America, commercials. If you want to try to suggest some sort of scene or image or whatever, and you don't have very much time to do it, then you would tend to lean on these, what I call these little icons. But I've discovered that there's a lot more to it than that. I have composed bits of music. One piece of music I recorded on my first solo CD, Gypsy, was a piece called In Through the Narrows, which is about coming in through the mouth of St. John's Harbor here. We call that the Narrows. There's like cliffs on both sides. And one would be out being tossed about on the ocean and in stormy weather, and they would seek the refuge of St. John's Harbor. And the feeling of coming in through those Narrows. I've been in through those Narrows several times. My great uncle, Captain Harry Stone, he was the harbor master of St. John's for 18 years, and in fact had an island down in Antarctica named after him. If you look for Stone Island, that bears the name of my great uncle, who just passed away a couple of years ago, Captain Harry Stone, Second World War veteran, and I think he captained his first vessel in the, oh gee whiz, he must have been about, I don't know, 15 years old or something like that, I think, when he captained his first vessel. So I kind of painted the picture of that place and coming in through the Narrows on a sailing vessel. And at least one person I heard from who didn't know the name of the song, didn't know what it was about, heard that song and remarked, you know, oh my, that I feel like I'm coming in through the Narrows of St. John's Harbor. And oddly enough, well, guess what? This piece is called In Through the Narrows. And another time I had a camera crew here at the house who were doing a piece about me and my music and all that sort of stuff. And sort of off camera, I didn't want to talk about the synesthesia stuff too much on camera, because it's sort of freakish, like, you know. People would imagine that if we went through some sort of period of social upheaval, when they start going out and rounding up the gypsies and the disabled people and so on, you think, well, boy, I got enough going against me already. You know, I'm a Newfoundlander. I'm left-handed. I'm blind. Throw that synesthesia on there, and man, I'm out of here, kind of thing. So anyway, we were talking about the synesthesia sort of off camera, in between, and before we left, we talked about it on camera as well. But before he left, he says to me, "Can you play me something that you're working on lately? Just some piece of music that you're working on lately?" And I said, "Okay, sure." And I brought up this bit of music I was working on. I was using something at the time called a Roland VS-1680. And it was just a piece that I was working on. It had no title. There was no title on the screen. It was just called, you know, Project 001 or something like that. So I brought it up and I played it for him. And he said afterward, he said, "Wow, that I really got a strong sort of sense of imagery from that." And so I said, "Well, what did you imagine you could see, or where were you? Where did it take you?" And he said, "Well, it's like being out in the middle of the ocean, and just all he could see in all directions was the ocean, and you know, the big powerful ocean." And he said, "Well, it's kind of like, you know, Hibernia." And Hibernia is a gravity-based structure off the coast of Newfoundland here. It's an oil platform. And oddly enough, I had written this song, this piece of music. It's not a song. There's no lyrics to it. There are no sound effects in it, no sounds of crashing waves, no seagulls, no machinery. So I didn't cheat. I didn't put any of those sorts of icons into it. So all there was music. And I said, "Just one second here now," because I knew there's no way he was going to believe me. After having gone on about synesthesia and painting pictures with sound. And he was very interested and, you know, in the whole thing, and on camera was asking me questions, and he took it seriously enough. But at the same time, what's that old expression? He who feels it knows it, you know, that kind of thing. So I actually had a two-track mix that I had flown over onto the computer. So what I did was I had the computer turned off. The computer was powered down. We were shooting and recording and all that sort of stuff. So I powered up, I booted up the computer. And I went to the folder where the file was. And I arrowed down until I was on the file. And I showed him the file. I said, "Okay, this is the file. See it? This is, we're on it there now. You know, grab your mouse. See the title? The song, the piece of music was called Hibernia. And it was a piece of music that I composed kind of thinking along the lines of the vanity of man, that we would build this gravity-based structure, this GBS, that's what they call it, and put it out into the middle of the raging North Atlantic and assume that it would be safe and solid, and oh boy, aren't we great, you know, like the Titanic thing again, the unsinkable, all that stuff. The whole idea of the piece of music was that little dot in the middle of the vast ocean, sort of man's pathetic attempt to challenge nature, or man's own sort of cockiness in the face of nature, that kind of thing. And he listened to it. He had no way of knowing what it was. It wasn't on any CD that I'd ever done before. I was currently working on it. And he said it reminded him of Hibernia. Just let me play a little piece of the music here for you now. It's funny because it's not even any sort of kind of a classical thing or anything like that. So you might imagine. Anyway, let me just play a little bit of it for you here. So you can see there that it has a very sort of modern sort of sound. It's not some kind of, classical sounding painting, audio painting or whatever. But he got it. I guess he lives here and he knows Hibernia. And he's a very, very intelligent man. Atso Ritsuri is his name, by the way. And he spotted it right away. Hibernia, yeah. So that was one bit of proof. The other one that I mentioned earlier, a friend of mine from friend of mine now, he wasn't at the time, I didn't know him. This guy called Vic from Philadelphia heard In Through the Narrows. And let me just play a little bit of that here for you. Okay, and I have heard of other pieces of music as well, including one on my new CD that I composed for my wife Lillian, and it's called Lillian, and then in brackets, A Portrait in Sound, and that's exactly what it is, that's what I meant it to be, and anybody who's heard it who knows Lillian is absolutely gobsmacked, as we say around here, or dumbfounded. They couldn't believe that a piece of music could actually paint a person like that. So my point of interest here is that whole issue about music and sound, and as we dabble around, Larry trying various machines and some of you people recording and learning about compression and EQ and mic technique and different brands of microphones, I contend that there is something above all of that stuff. There is something above the microphone or the recording equipment or whatever. And I just want to play you a little thing in closing that motivated me, that inspired me to send this little piece to Larry. And that is something that appeared on the forum for the for our podcast, Republic of Avalon Radio. We have some forums set up, and this message appeared from somebody who I don't know, I never met before in my life, in Colorado. And this piece of music is called "I Still Remember," and I wrote this for my sister, who drowned at the age of 3. And for me, it was just, I just wanted to make a picture of her using sound. And I think when you can see and somebody passes away like that, somebody close to you, like a little sister, it might take a fair while before you can actually look at the pictures again. But once the time passes and you can look at those pictures, I think it's there's something. I think you're very glad that you didn't destroy the pictures, that you still have them, and then over the years you can just look and see that person again. Well, not having the advantage of being able to do that, I just wanted to make a little kind of portrait in sound of my sister Nancy. And I did, and I called it I Still Remember. And this post was on the forum, on one of our forums, from somebody called Helen in Colorado. And as you listen to this little piece, you'll discover that it was a four-year-old girl who heard this piece of music and described exactly how I remember my sister and what I was visually putting into the piece of music, how I remember her and what I put into that piece of music. And anyway, I don't want to ruin it for you. Let me just play this piece for you. And thank you, Larry, for accepting all sorts of different kinds of input from listeners like myself and everybody else. I'm really glad that it's not just all about the more geeky stuff. I'm very much into all the geeky stuff and the technical stuff myself, but I'm very glad that you didn't decide to just simply stick to that. And my hat's off to you. And all the best to all my fellow blind, cool tech listeners. And here is the message that was posted on the forum. And it's read by Lillian, my wife, and the background music is the song I Still Remember that the post referred to.
I have a story to share that felt like it should have a topic all its own. I received a copy of Midnight Rover last weekend from a good friend. Thank you, and fell in love with it right away. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a Montessori teacher. I have a class of 20 3-to-5-year-olds. I took my new CD to school with me the next morning. I had it on as the children were arriving. They danced. One asked, "Miss Helen, is this more Newfoundland music?" "Why, yes." "Miss Helen, this isn't Alan, is it?" "Well, no. His name is Jim Fiddler," I told them. They got out their percussion instruments and enjoyed moving and making music along with the CD. As we begin our work time each day, we start by making collective silence. For months, we've listened to Deep Peace from my Celtic Twilight CD for silence. Last week, I told them I had a new and very beautiful piece of music. I told them it was written about a 3-year-old little girl. I lit the candle, they crossed their legs, put their hands on their knees, closed their eyes, and took a deep breath. I Still Remember played. They made very beautiful, very deep, still silence that day. The best I've ever seen. When it was over, no one spoke. They sat there smiling and staring at the light of the candle. They are usually beginning to squirm. That day they sat, they breathed deeply, very relaxed. One little 4-year-old girl spoke up in a whisper. "That was beautiful music. I could see her, Miss Helen. She was playing outside." Chills. I wanted to cry and laugh and hug her all at once. We have listened to it ever since at silence every morning. I have played John O'Dreams, Fields of Gold, Lillian, Waterford River, I Remember, and other instrumentals for their naptime music. Since I have received this CD, it has become the soundtrack of my classroom. Thanks for such a lovely gift and for such beautiful music. Helen.
See what I mean? I never realized, and I should have, that a musician has a bag of tools, as Jim expressed there. I also never realized that you could paint visual pictures with sound, but I didn't see exactly what I was supposed to, but you sure had some visual images there when you, especially for me when I thought about it a little bit. on the tools, I should have realized that a musician would have them. I know a programmer does. You know, when you have a specific task you want to accomplish, there's a tool to, or usually there's a tool. If there's not, you write a tool to accomplish that task. If you haven't checked out Jim's podcast yet, you'll be sure and want to go over to republicofavalonradio.com, and Avalon is A-V-A-L-O-N. That's his website, and you can get the feed there, or just use feeds.feedburner.com/republicofavalonradio. One of the better podcasts in the whole podosphere. This is our potpourri of a week from the life in Lynette Tatum.
Welcome to Malin's News and Views for October 28th, 2005. My name is Lynette Tatum, and today I will be including, a potpourri, or I once heard this great word, a mélange of sounds from my week, just some sound snippets of my activities during the week, which includes some of my hobbies, and we'll see what all else I'll throw in here, but just wanted to give you a bunch of ear candy. Alrighty then. Oh, by the way, and this was sort of inspired by Larry, who actually throws out, Larry Skutkan, I should say, who throws out a lot of ideas. One about sharing our hobbies, about talking about relationships and so forth. And you come down. It comes down to, my gosh, where do I start? So here's where I start. The first thing I would like to insert is me teaching an HTML class. And I thought I'd pick out this slightly funny snippet.
Highlight index, which is, of course, the first page of our website. If you do an application key or a right mouse click, there's an option that's called open with. And you can actually go there and say, look, open this in Notepad, as opposed to opening Notepad. Blah, blah, blah. I find it a very nice feature.
Now, don't I sound a little frantic and a little wild there? And the reason I sound so loud is because I have, I was teaching my tutors slash, there was one instructor in there actually, in addition to myself, one other instructor, and you know, I have a person who is using a hearing device. So there I am screaming like a lunatic. But I often sound like a lunatic when I teach. Or I at least try to infuse a little humor into what otherwise might be some deadly subjects. The next thing I think I'll try to play for you is, or you should hear, it will be, I think, our rehearsal. We, my friend and I, Maria Rios, she's the part of Malin, as in Maria and Lynette, belong to an ensemble. And we are in the rehearsal stages for a performance to be done in December, on December 14th, actually. And I'm going to try to find a not-too-embarrassing excerpt of our rehearsal. Perhaps funny, perhaps pitiful. We shall see. Now, I just want to say that I'm skipping some days. I actually, this week was a kind of a banner week for me because I taught HTML on Monday. Tuesday, I worked like a demon trying to finish reports and prepare for class. And then I had a class at 1:30 with my little senior ladies who are just adorable. And then on Wednesday, I had a 3-hour Kurzweil 1000 seminar with five women again, interestingly enough. Thursday, I taught again. Well, I went in late to work on Thursday. I actually got to leave work early on Wednesday to go to my voice lesson and to the rehearsal that you will hear now. And then on Thursday, I had another class and another, an employment seminar with a fabulous speaker. And what I wanted to say was that, and I'm glad I remembered, this woman, Julie Jansen, is very dynamic. And for those of you who are job seekers out there in the blind cool tech world or other environs, should really think of getting her information or her contact. She promises that anyone who contacts her with a specific question will reply. She gave a wonderful speech. She sort of condensed her whole coaching session into a half an hour type thing, and she gave some wonderful tips. And if I can remember any, I will sprinkle them in. But before that, let's hear some of our rehearsal.
As you saw too early, that's the danger. On awe. One, two, and
now, unfortunately, this past Wednesday, I sounded like a frog. I sound a little less so today, but I don't even know if I was able to do that particular vocalize. I will next put on our, since that was just that, a vocalize, I'll next put on a sample of the vocal ensemble in performance at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which is a collaboration we've been doing for 9 years. We're coming up on our 10th next March. And I wish they would have kept it in June because the weather is nicer, but I have no control over these things. And we'll be singing part of a piece called, I don't think I'll play the whole thing for you, but called Long Time Ago. I do apologize for the quality of the recording. Really, the lighthouse doesn't have... let's put it this way. The vocal ensemble doesn't have a whole lot of say in how the thing is recorded. So I call myself trying to raise up the volume since the volume is usually so low. But I just wanted to give you a brief snippet of the thing. Now, if I'm going to talk about my hobbies, I guess one of my enduring hobbies would be singing, of course. I consider myself a fairly decent amateur after having seen many or if not most of American Idol, which some of you may enjoy, some not, but that's okay. I think I'm not bad for an old lady. When I was younger, I did a lot of songwriting, and less so as I grew older and, developed other interests. But I do have a song or two or three that are my favorites. And the one coming up next is absolutely one of my favorites, if not my best, probably, according to some, who knows. I don't play it often, but, you know, it's something I enjoy. As I said on my walkcast, I'm a musicaholic. I download music. I burn music. Anything having to do with music. I'm now searching for a way to get music, you know, get some theme music that is relatively safe for me to use. And I thought, well, I'll just make up my own. So I'm that's in the works. But this is a song that I wrote many years ago called I'd Rather Be. And it's, you know, it's just one of the things I enjoy doing and wish I could still or had the time to continue this particular interest. Others I do. I read, I write, I walk, I am in various, I don't know, activities all around. But this is one that's sort of lain dormant for quite a while. But anyway, here it is, and I think I will end this particular podcast with I'd Rather Be. Hope you enjoy it. Bye. This was sparked by someone else who put one of his songs into a podcast, and I thought that was really neat. All right. By the way, you can contact me through the list or at Superlyn, SuperLynne, at earthlink.net. Take care, all.
I go through each day, hours slowly pass by, just taking direction, hardly asking what or why. My life seems a struggle, no light up ahead. As I try to go onward, I'm thinking instead that I'd rather be in your arms right now. I need you to hold me so tight. I'd rather be in your arms right now. Today and tomorrow and always. I never speak out, I'm so afraid to offend. I'm breaking so badly, I'm afraid I won't mend. People pushing and pulling, no peace here to find. As I try to make them happy, this thought goes through my mind. And I'd rather be in your arms right now. Need you to hold me so tight. I'd rather be in your arms right now. Today, tomorrow, and always. Someday I'll wake up with you close to me. Nothing or no one in our way. Our life will begin, a brighter day we will see. From then on, no goodbyes will we say. Will we say, your love leads me home, it carries me through. I get through good days and bad days just thinking of you. If we ever stop loving, my dreams would all die. You're the key to my future, in my heart and my mind. And I'd rather be in your arms right now. I need you to hold me so tight. I'd rather be in your arms right now. Today, tomorrow, and always. Today and tomorrow and always.
Thanks, Lynette. Excellent. Very, very creative. One other thing I want to do is read a letter to you that came in. This was actually on the Blind Cool Tech email list, and ask you something. So let's check that out.
I feel like a ghost. I have been wanting to submit a career cast, but I am a real neophyte when it comes to digital recording. My husband got an Olympus DS2 digital recorder as a gift recently, and although I have not really used it for anything, it looks like I might be able to do so without too much difficulty. This is not a DS200 like some of you seem to have. However, I really have not played with this at all, and I don't know if I will be successful. My computer has Windows XP Home, and there is a program on the computer called Sonic Recorder, but again, I know nothing about it. All my experience recording have been analog, most recently with a handheld Sony cassette recorder. From the discussions out there, I understand the Olympus Records in DMA format, and that you need MP3 format to be a podcast. Now for the questions, and trust me, I have plenty of them. First, how best to record a cast on my career? Obviously cassette tape isn't going to work, but it is what I know. Secondly, if I do use the Olympus DS2 which my husband has for meetings and such, how would I go about converting the file to a usable MP3? Third, if I manage all that, what do I do with the file next? As I said, I am a complete neophyte in this area. I am used to transcribing from digital files, but have no idea how to create or manipulate them, and editing, well, we don't want to go there yet. I do have a USB headset and microphone. I have never used the microphone portion to date, but my older computer did not have earphone jacks in the front, and so I had the USB hooked up through a hub. This newer computer does have jacks on the front. I am also trying to talk my husband into a career cast. I am a long-time medical transcriptionist and computer buff, sort of, and my husband has worked in a few things but is currently working at the local hospital help desk and obtaining a master's degree in information system management. I am totally blind, and he is high partial. I just need the real basics on how to begin this, and no, I am not interested in starting my own podcast. I have all I can do to keep up with the few I am subscribed to. Helpful hints, websites and such will be appreciated. My email is at the bottom of this message. rosecombsrosecombsquest.net.
You bring up some excellent points, and we're going to talk a little bit about this. First, when I first read this, I thought, well, this is lucky because we have Mary Emerson's review of the DS2, and we have my initial impressions of it and a few discussions about it, but you know what? We don't have a comprehensive how-to of the DS2. Someone else actually had emailed me about going through the menus, and I know also that Mary Emerson has written the menus down, and maybe that's what we need to send to Rose, but I can't help but think that it would be a little more effective to have an audio file that totally walked someone through each of these recorders. So if we have any volunteers that want to do the menus with the DS2 in particular, well, no, not just the menus, everything, how to use it. That would be great. The other thing, and not just on the DS2, too, we probably should do this for all the players. You know, I get excited when I get one, and I just go out there and give my initial impressions on it, and I'm actually not the type that really fools much with the menus on, let's say, I guess all three of my players. I got somebody sighted to set the record level, for instance, on the iRiver. I would love to be able to change that, and that's one thing I like a lot better about the Arcos jukebox running the Rockbox software. Well, where I was going with that is I usually don't tend to know the menus. So I haven't traditionally been very good at that, but I'm willing to give a crack at this too and, you know, create an audio file that we can point somebody to say, well, just download this demonstration here and so-and-so will walk you through it. Now, as far as anybody that wants to submit anything having an issue with, you know, file formats, the only thing I request is that you get it in as good a format as you can. Like if you're recording with the DS2 or the WS2, set it, you know, on its highest setting. You don't necessarily have to do it in stereo if you're just going to do a voice recording. That'll save you some space. But set it as, you know, as high as you can, either in mono or stereo, and just send it to me the way it comes off the recorder, and I'll take care of inserting it into the show or converting it or whatever we need to do. That actually would be better anyway. If you happen to record one on your computer, you can send it over as a WAV file, no problem. I mean, one thing we don't want to do is get you caught up in the technical aspects. I would recommend on the DS2 that once you get it set, you probably, one of the other things you want to set on it is to turn the sensitivity to low. The unit really tries hard to get low sounds when you have it on high, you know, low volume sounds when you have it on high sensitivity. So do try to get that set that way, and also put the unit maybe on a book or something on a table in front of you and just sit there, you know, hit the record, get your hands away from it, because as you touch it, it makes some awful noise while your hand moves around the microphone and so forth. And just sit back and talk into it. There's been a few career casts done on the DS2, and they come out very well. There has been a lot of really interesting topics come up on the mailing list, and if you're not subscribed to the mailing list, you don't need to be, but in case you would like to have any kind of offline discussions, you can do that. Just go to our contacts link on the webpage, and it'll show you that you just send a blank email to blindcooltech-request@freelists.org and put subscribe in the subject line of the email, and you'll get a message back. Well, no, you won't. You just get automatically subscribed. But where I was going with that is there's some good topics that come up, and I'd like to summarize them. For instance, Rose Cone's, you know, there was a good dialogue there that could have been captured and brought out a few more details of that situation. But one of the things, for instance, too, that Lois Goodein mentioned on the list was a resource for audio information that is put up by the Boston Users Group, and it's vibug.org/audio.htm. Some great discussions there about almost any aspect of audio on the computer. But what I really want to bring up is the idea that someone, some volunteer, could compile threads that we could just, you know, put into a text file and have it read back without all the garbage headers on it and all this, and maybe put them in the order of the questions and answers, and, you know, just kind of do a real clean digest of what kind of discussion was in that topic, and we could probably use one of the better synthesizers to read it. And, you know, if one of you wants to just compile those and send the text file to me or whatever kind of document, I'd be glad to actually do the recording of it for the audio portion. We don't have any voicemail feedback this just over this short amount of time. I do want to encourage you to leave us comments on the comment line. And I think that's a very interactive part of the show. That's going to do it for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. You're listening to the music of Andre Lewis.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at www.blindcooltech.com. Send an email to blindcooltech@gmail.com or leave a comment on our comment line at 206-984-9203.